Hi, Carol Gambule here. Welcome to the Word Anchor Podcast, where we aim to search, find, share, and apply scriptures to life's issues. We will find victory and succeed in life if we are anchored in the Word of God. Please do enjoy this episode. Shalom. Greetings, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Our episode is titled Faith as a Shield. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, the Bible says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Praise God. There are three things that every believer should have: the Word of God, faith, and the Holy Spirit. The rest of the other things, they hinge on the availability and the usage of these three things. You cannot pray, for instance, if you don't know the Word. You'll go to God and complain. You'll go to God and ask for things that you're not supposed to be asking from God. You'll go to God not knowing what is it that has been made available for you as a believer. Perhaps you may know the Word, but without the Holy Spirit, you are not empowered to pray. You are not empowered to take the things that God has already provided for in the Word of God if you don't know the Word. Maybe you can pray, but without faith, the Word of God says you cannot please God. Therefore, you cannot go far even on the things that you pray about because you need faith. But of these three things, our focus on this episode is faith. The Word says that faith can be used as a weapon. When the enemy comes to attack us as believers, this Word says you can use faith. Raise up faith as a shield. It's not that we only use faith to ask from God, but we're able to stand against the enemy. So it is a weapon, something that you take, you put on, and you're able to fight the enemy with it. Now, what is faith? The Word of God says it is the substance of things that we are hoping for and evidence of things not seen. So you may be facing an enemy. Faith says the enemy may be bigger than me. The enemy may be more powerful than I am. The enemy may be more experienced than I am. In fact, we are fighting a spiritual warfare against spiritual enemies that we cannot even see, feel, or touch. Half the time, we don't even know that there is a spiritual attack. We only see the manifestation of things going wrong in our lives. Now, this Word says you need to raise up that shield of faith. Use it as a weapon. Use that faith as a weapon. Even though you do not see even the enemy that you are fighting with your naked eye, but you raise up the shield of faith. You say, "Not here, not today." So you would have what you desire before you see it. You desire victory against all the wiles of the enemy. Raise up the shield of faith. One man of God says, faith puts you ahead of manifestation. So the thing that is in the future, the thing that you desire that is in the future, faith takes you there. Now in the present. In the present, you are able to go see the things that are there for you that are futuristic, or the things that are out of reach for you now, but you are able to see them. It is faith that takes you there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because you see, those that go to Him must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You cannot go to God with doubt. You cannot go to God wanting God to do something for you, but you actually don't believe He is able to do it for you. Faith is what moves God on behalf of men. The one thing that God requires from us is that we must have faith. Because that you are saved, it is by faith. That you be healed, it is by faith. Whatever situation that you're dealing with, you deal with it by faith. Faith says, though I don't have this thing that I desire in my hands, but I already own it. It's like having ownership of your house before receiving the title deed. You already know it's yours. Before you have it, you already have it. What a wonderful thing. The things of God, they are absolutely amazing. It is you as a believer trusting God that God will do it for you. But then how is that being used as a weapon? You see, the Bible says to us, the enemy is out there like a roaring lion. He's looking for whomever he may devour. That is his full-time job. That's what he does every single day. When you wake up, the enemy is out there trying to find something he can pin you down on, something he can attack you with. He can attack your family. He can attack your job. He can attack your business. He can attack your children, your health, even your ministry. Whatever thing that you are dealing with, look at it closely. You'll see that this is the hand of the enemy. You may ask things from God. The enemy goes and takes it. Go read the book of Daniel. The Bible says Daniel prayed 21 days. By day 24, the angel came and said to him, on the very same moment, the moment you began to pray, I was dispatched from heaven. So the answer was released for Daniel the moment he began to pray. But the poor man had to fast so many days without receiving an answer. Day 24, that's when the angel came, told him, this was an answer given. But you see, there was an enemy in the realm of the spirit that withstood that angel that brought the answer to Daniel. He withstood him until Angel Michael came to rescue this angel that was supposed to bring the good news to Daniel and in response to his prayers. So you have prayed and the enemy still comes and attack. You go to sleep and you wake up, there's a big issue. You don't even know where it came from. You live your life in peace and he comes and stirs a trouble. You wonder what happened. You used to be close with your sister and all of a sudden you're not. You used to be close with your parents and all of a sudden you're not. You used to be close with your children, all of a sudden you're no longer close. The enemy comes, he steals, he kills and he destroys. You wonder how you thought everything was well in your family, but it has now changed. It has gone from good to bad to worse. It is the hand of the enemy. Now God says, take up your shield. Use faith as a weapon. We are fighting spiritual battles, children of God. And we need to be fully armed. You see, when a soldier goes to a physical battle, they carry guns. They use those guns to attack the enemy. But they also put on an armor. They put on boots. They put on helmet. They put on a bulletproof vest so that they are protected. They go into armored vehicles, vehicles that are protected against bombs and guns and all sorts of artilleries of the enemy. And then you have a child of God that goes into a spiritual battle and says, I'm just a believer in God and that's it. You need to put on that whole armor. You need to go against the enemy fully armed. That's what the Bible is telling us. These are the things that are meant to stop the artilleries of the enemy from penetrating and killing you as a child of God. God says, use your faith to protect yourself from the devil when he attacks. You will stand by faith and be protected. The enemy will throw sickness and faith will say, not here, I am healed by his stripes. So we are raising the word of God that says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You raise up the shield and you say, no, not here, not today. The word of God says, I am healed. Therefore, I am healed. Now go away, you devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. The enemy will come against your job. Faith will come and you raise up that faith and you say, my God will meet my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The enemy wants you to be poor. The enemy wants you to believe that God is unable to feed you and your family. You raise up the shield of faith. You say, I'm trusting God. He's going to feed me and my family. He will come and take peace away from your marriage. Faith will stand and say, the Lord will give me, you'll keep me in perfect peace. For my heart is stayed on him. Faith does not just speak, it acts. Praise God. Faith does not just read the word of God, acts on it. You begin to speak things, you begin to do things, you begin to fight battles because you have faith in God. Now, how do we use this faith as a weapon? Let us look at various stories, things that happened in the time when the Bible was written and in the time of Jesus. You'd remember the story where Jesus Christ said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. And they had to get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, that word of Jesus says, our destination is the other side. However, when the journey was on, when it's in progress, the word of God says there was a storm in the sea. That was a storm that was meant to stand against the word of God. The word says we're going to the other side. The storm says you're not going anywhere. The word said we are going to the other side. The wind comes and says you are not going. The boat was hit by the wind and the waves, and Jesus Christ was asleep. His faith was saying, we are going to the other side. The disciples doubted that word of God. Because you see, doubt came and told the disciples, we are going to perish, we are dying here and now. And Jesus Christ was woken up by the disciples that were scared. And they were wondering, why is this man sleeping? And they say to him, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Jesus Christ wakes up, looks at them and wonders, where does perishing come in this whole picture? Because I did not say to you, let us go and die in the sea. I said to you, let's go to the other side. Why are we now dying in the sea? Because you see, if you have faith as a substance, the substance will say to you, the word said the other side. It did not say die in the sea. Therefore, if the word says we're going to the other side, it doesn't matter what's happening in the sea. It doesn't matter that the boat is being tossed to and fro. It doesn't matter that the wind is hitting the boat. It doesn't matter how big the waves are. It doesn't even matter if there's water inside the boat. What matters is that we're going to the other side. We may not know how we're going to get there because our boat is in trouble, but we know one thing. The word said to the other side. Therefore, we are going to the other side. How we get there is the issue that the word must address, not us. What we must address is, do we believe this word? When Jesus says we are going to the other side, do we believe him? And Jesus stood up and calmed the storm, rebuked the wind and the waves and the sea, and it was calm. Then he turned to the disciples and says, where's your faith? Where is your faith? Where? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you hear the word that I said, we are going to the other side? Praise Jesus. Did you hear that word? If you did hear that word, then faith should have come that we are going to the other side. We may go to the other side with a broken boat, but we are going to the other side. We may end up swimming to the other side, but we are going to the other side. Why are we now talking about perishing when I said we are going to the other side? So you've literally have not used any faith. You did not look at the storm and say, storm, we see you, but we are going to the other side. You actually looked at the storm and said, we are dying here. Jesus Christ rebuked them for that. He was expecting them to raise the shield of faith and saying, wind and storm, we are going. The word said the other side, not here. We are not going to die here. He used his own faith, commanded the wind and the storm and the waves to stop. He is saying to us, raise up that shield. The enemy is attacking you. You are in the boat, child of God, and it is shaking and tossing. It is about to break, but God is saying, I said the other side. Focus on the word of God, the other side. When faith rises, we are not going to perish. When faith rises, we know we are going to the other side. The disciples did not even use a little faith. They had put away their faith completely and they were now afraid. They took away the word of God that said, we are going to the other side. And they focused on the word of the devil that said, we are dying in the sea. And Jesus is saying, where is your faith? The storm is here, we see it. The wind is here, we see it. The trouble is here, we see it. What does faith say? Faith says, not here, not now, not with me, in the name of Jesus. We also remember the story of Peter, again in the sea. Jesus said to them, let's go again to the other side, but go first and I will follow you. They don't even ask Jesus Christ, how will you get there? So they get into the boat and they are going to the other side. They don't even ask Jesus Christ, how will he get there? But they go. He goes to pray. And then he comes and joins them in the sea. He is walking on water. When they look at him from far, they got scared, thinking that that's a ghost. But when Jesus Christ told them that it is I, Peter looked at him and said, you see, I see you walking on the sea. That thing that you are doing is not normal. And I want in on it. I want to experience what you are doing right now. I want to be the only man that will walk on water. I want to be the one that walks like you on water. But Peter doesn't just get out of the boat and jumps in. Instead, he says, tell me to come. If it is you, tell me to come. So what is he looking for? A word. He doesn't go to battle without a word. He says, tell me to come. I will come. And Jesus Christ says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat, steps onto the water, and starts walking to Jesus. The disciples are looking at him. He is walking on water. He's doing something that they have never done, never seen before. They are only seeing it being done by Jesus Christ. He walked towards Jesus. He walked further from the boat. And when he began to focus not on the way that said come, he then began to sink, because he moved away from the word that gave him the faith to walk on water in the first place. The word said come. The word did not say sink. It said come. And Peter did the coming to Jesus up until he moved his focus from the coming, the word come, and he began to sink, because he now focused on the word wind and the word storm and the word waves and the word sea and I'm dying. And he began to sink. Instead of raising a shield of faith and saying, I am not dying, I'm walking. I walked that distance. No, Peter started crying, Lord, help me. And the Lord stretched out his hand and he picked him up. And the important thing is, he was closer to the Lord than he was to the boat. Because if he was closer to the boat, he would have just called on the disciples to say, help me come back to the boat. But he was closer to Jesus. And that Jesus Christ was a little bit further from the boat. We see it because they saw him and they thought he was a ghost. So he had to tell them that I'm not a ghost, it is I. So he was a little further. So Peter did not take just one step. He did not take two steps. I believe he took many steps. Because if he was not far from the boat, he would have called on the disciples to help him. But he called on Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus just stretched out his hand. So Jesus did not start running towards Peter. He just stretched out his hand. So Peter did something that we have never done. It was never done before, except that he and Jesus did that. They walked on water. Now, the question that Jesus Christ says to Peter, or what he tells him, why did you doubt, you of little faith? So you had some faith. You were able to take few steps you took towards me. But then you did not finish the course. Your faith took you to a certain point, and then doubt started. Your faith took you to a certain point, and fear started. You stopped focusing on the word that carried you from the boat to closer to where Jesus was. After faith has carried you, all the steps that you took, even if he took 5 steps, it was still a miracle. No one walks on water. Jesus did. And Peter did. Whether it's 2 steps or 5 steps, he still walked on water. The Bible doesn't say he stepped on water. He walked on water. When you take 1 step, you have not walked. You just took a step forward. But when you have walked, you have taken 1 step, the next step after the other. Peter did that. But then his faith was not sufficient to take him to where Jesus was, because then he lost it. But then you see, the enemy, because the Bible doesn't tell us that there was wind and all of those things. But the minute he was walking, the enemy started attacking Peter by bringing a situation in the sea that then made him to be afraid. And this is what the enemy is doing. You begin something great. God says, go do this. And you start running, child of God. And you are full of faith. You are on fire for God. And the enemy comes and takes. The enemy comes and brings trouble. The enemy comes and stirs up the water. The enemy comes and brings the wind and the wave. And you're thinking, I'm now going to sink. The Lord says, where is your faith? Don't lose it. Your faith must not be little. You must continue. Stay the course. You've had the faith to start walking, Peter. Now that the enemies are taking your walk, raise the shield of faith. Say, I am not sinking. I'm going to where Jesus said, I must come. I am coming to you, Lord. All it needed was for Peter to tell the sea and the waves, I'm coming to where Jesus is. I'm not dying, I'm not sinking, but I'm going to where Jesus is. Raise up your shield. The enemy is throwing things at you. Raise up your shield as a weapon. Paul, for instance, when he was arrested and was on his way to Rome, he appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he went. As they were on the ship going to Rome, the word of Jesus said, you, Paul, are going to be a witness for me in Rome. That was the word. The end goal was Rome. The end goal was not dying at sea. Paul went with the other prisoners. They were going to Rome. And the Bible says that there was trouble in the sea. The ship was in so much trouble that they had to throw out things so that they can make the ship to be lighter. They were all panicking. The soldiers, the guards, those in charge of the prisoners, they were all panicking. They threw out things to make the ship lighter and it wasn't helping. And they stopped eating. They were all afraid. They thought they were going to die. In fact, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners because they saw that the prisoners wanted to escape. Maybe they wanted to swim to the shore because the ship was in trouble. But Paul, he encouraged them, "We are not going to die here. Start eating food. If you don't eat food, you're going to die of hunger. You're not going to die at sea. You're not going to die by drowning. You're going to die by not eating food. Eat your food because we are going to Rome." He raised up the shield against the situation. It was a situation that got everyone scared except Paul. He held on to the word. He did not have a solution for the ship not to be shipwrecked because it ended up being shipwrecked anyway. So his solution was not to stop the sea and the waves and all the things that caused the ship to be shipwrecked. His solution was that whatever happens here, we are not going to end up dead here, but we're going to end up in Rome. Everyone in that ship was covered by the assignment of Paul going to Rome and testifying about Jesus. When they were shipwrecked and they were in the island there of Malta, the Bible says Paul was busy lighting a fire there, and he took a stick and there was a snake that fastened itself upon his hand. And the word of God says he shook the snake. It fell into the fire and was burnt. Now everyone that was looking thought that Paul was gone, dead, because the snake had fastened itself. When a snake fastened, it means it was close enough to even bite him. But he shook it and continued, and they looked at him and they were all wondering, what kind of a man is this one? Paul dealt with a shipwreck, dealt with the waves in the sea, he dealt with the snake by only holding on to the word, "I'm going to Rome. I don't care whether the snake bites me, I'm not going to die. This ship, even if it's shipwrecked, I am not going to die. Because Jesus said, I'm going to Rome. To Rome I am going. Praise the Lord." I don't know, child of God, what God has told you. I don't know what God has shared with you, the future that awaits you. The word of God is saying to us, when the enemy comes at you, raise up that shield. Tell the enemy, I'm going to Rome. I am going to Rome. I'm not dying here. I'm going to Rome because that is where the Lord has told me I am going. So no devil, not here, not now, not ever, the Lord has spoken over my life, this is not going to happen. I am going to where God said I must go. The last story is that of the woman with the issue of blood. This woman was attacked by this thing. Women will know, you cannot bleed every single day and remain normal. You cannot function normally with such bleeding such a long time. 12 years was way too much for this woman. She had tried all the doctors and they all failed. But she heard the word about Jesus. She heard what Jesus Christ had been doing in the villages. And when she heard that, the attack was still in progress. She was still bleeding. But then she spoke a word. Her faith arose when she heard about the things that Jesus Christ had been doing. Because it had been written previously that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that takes away sickness and disease from us. He is the Lord that heals us. When she heard that this Lord was here and now and healing people, she said to herself, "If only I may touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. The only thing I do is touch him, the hem, not even him, just the hem, it is sufficient. I will be made well." She kept on speaking that word. Her situation had gotten worse when she was going to the doctors. But the minute she began to speak the words of faith, we are no longer told that her situation was getting worse, but that she was now looking for an opportunity to touch Jesus. When she heard he was passing by, she went, found Jesus, touched the hem. As she had spoken, her words of faith was that this situation, this attack upon my life, this thing is not going to kill me. The healer is around. The one that heals people, raises the dead, heals the blind man, they receive their sight, the deaf they can hear, the mute they can speak, the lame are able to walk, the demon possessed are freed. This man is here and I am going to get my healing. The minute she touched the hem of his garment, the blood flow stopped. And Jesus Christ felt that virtue had come out of him. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciple says, "Lord, we are all touching you." She says, "Who touched me?" "Lord, we are all touching you. You see this multitude. All of us are touching you." Jesus Christ is looking for the one that touched him and had a testimony. So if you all touched me, where is your testimony? Because the touch that touched me took out virtue out of me. Power came out of me. All of you are touching me, but where is the testimony that you are touching me? All of you are coming to church, children of God, but where is the testimony? All of you are joining prayer groups, you are praying, where is the testimony? That you have touched Jesus, where is the testimony? Testify. Because when you're touching the Lord of Lords, there must be change. But when you're touching the Lord of Lords without faith, there won't be any change. You see, people were coming after Jesus. They probably had different needs. But this one woman had faith that even if I don't speak to this man, even if he does not lay hands on me, even if I don't get any attention from him, I'm going to him taking the thing that I want from him. This woman believed that the hem has power. The hem that is on the body of Jesus has power. She wasn't waiting for an altar call. She wasn't waiting for anything else except that I'm going to touch that hem. If that hem is on Jesus, it's sufficient for me. I'm going to be healed. And she was healed. Who touched me? The only person that got a miracle that day is the one that touched Jesus by faith. She was being attacked for 12 years. And she raised up the shield of faith to say, "You see, this attack ends now, Satan. There is a hem that I'm touching. This attack ends and it ends now. I'm touching this hem. Now blood, stop flowing." And it stopped. How many of you will go to Jesus, pray and fast, and we don't get the miracles? We don't get the things that we're asking of the Lord. We need to deal with the issue of faith. Hold to that faith. Hold on to that faith for dear life. Because it is that faith that will give you that testimony. The word of the Lord God has empowered us, beloved, that we can be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. The one thing that we have is the power of God that is in his word. And that is the one thing that we must use against the enemy. A shield that is on the floor is useless. A soldier will die if they don't have their vest on, the bulletproof vest. If they don't have it on their body, they will die. If they leave it on the floor and they go around and a bullet is issued, it will hit them and they will die. Don't leave your shield on the floor. Raise it up against the enemy. It doesn't matter how many times that gun is pointed at you and released. As long as you've got the bulletproof vest, which is your shield of faith, you take up the scriptures and saying, "I see your attack, devil." This is what the word of the Lord God says. It may hit, because you see, when the soldier is shot at and that bullet hits that vest, it will hit. The person will feel something. But that bullet will not penetrate the vest, because there is something that is protecting that soldier. But as a child of God, you put your shield on the floor and you go around and face the enemy without the shield, you're going to die. The effectiveness of a shield depends on the revelation the user has. If your shield is not on the floor but you're holding it by your hand, and it's supposed to be a bulletproof vest, or it's supposed to be a helmet on your head. If you're holding it with your hand and you have not put it on your head or on your chest, it's still useless. You're holding it and saying, "No, I know this is what the word of God says," but you're not believing it. You're not using it as a shield against the walls of the enemy. God says, use that shield, child of God. If you don't know the word of God, you'll never know which weapon is supposed to be used and how. You'll take the helmet and put it on your feet or something. You'll take the bulletproof vest and put it somewhere else where it's not going to protect you optimally. When the attack comes, child of God, find the word that talks to that attack. Raise it up against the enemy. "Oh, devil, it is written, by his stripes I am healed." Continue. You don't raise up the shield of faith once. You raise it up until the enemy stops his attack. Our problem, we raise it up once and then we think the enemy is too powerful. It means the shield I'm using is no longer useful for me. It's not protecting me. No, you hold the shield of faith up until the war is done and won. A soldier does not put down their guns until the war is done or they're on a safe place. Don't leave your shield on the floor, child of God. Raise it up. Find the weight. Stand on that weight. I am going to live. I'm not going to die. I am going to declare the glorious works of the Lord. He is the Lord that heals me. Use that shield. He attacks your finances. It is the Lord that has blessed me to multiply and to increase. He is the one that teaches me how to make wealth. Your business is not doing well. The Lord will teach me how to make wealth. The Lord is going to teach me how to make money. The Lord is going to teach me how to market my business. And you go and do it. Don't just recite scriptures. Do it. Raise that shield. Hold it up until the attack is over. Do not give up before you have won the battle, child of God. Continue raising up the shield, and the Lord is going to protect you with the faith that you have on His word. Use it. It is a shield. It is your weapon. It is for your protection. In the name of the Lord.
Shalom. Thank you for listening to this episode of Word Anchor Podcast. I hope you are inspired and blessed by this message. Kindly share it with someone and spread the word. Continue to be anchored in the Word of God. Till next time, stay blessed.